Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Podcast.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Daddy McDuke. I'm joined as always by Dr. Hoji the Electric Smudgy.
Right.
And John Cougar Mellencap Sheeran.
A repeat.
Oh, yeah, no.
He's going to keep using that one.
Oh, that was a good one. So good.
It was.
And we are joined by HR. Okay. Look.
I almost didn't even show back up today.
Yeah.
After all, after the past week, she's still just HR to you?
I know. And by the way, HR, after
what are you trying to say about the value of HR, John?
Bridget is
Bridget,
the one
can
person
you file
on the
something?
Yeah. Bridget is the one person on the show who has been all over the draft and all over the media and is like the star currently of the draft. And instead of celebrating that, instead of celebrating the accomplishments of this powerful, powerful woman on our show, you just call her HR.
Again, diminishing HR. Okay.
No, where? Keep going. Just keep going.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So look, we're going to get to all of that very soon. The draft, the Bridget, right? All of that. But I want to start with Brinks.tv because I don't know if you know, but Courtney has a very, very... kind of a firebrand of a podcast. And let me just get the copy she gave me. So Alex Jones is back. And he's redder than ever in a brand new single stream media show called Conspiracy Now. And you can watch the show to find out what still water really does to your body. What lies in the land beyond the north border that they call Canada? And who really won the 2016 election? The answer will surprise you. And then she has a hash brown for me. It's hash brown
hashtag.
Alex Jones 2024. Okay.
I think so, we should single stream all over that copy because that is not true.
Okay. We do have a show called Conspiracy Truth Finders, and Alex Jones was a guest. So you can check that episode out on Brinks.tv.
Thank you, Courtney, for putting them in their place. All right. But no, look, go to like, comment, subscribe. No, you don't go
this
there.
This is like discovering that Santa Claus is real.
Right. I've been telling you guys. You guys, you just assume. You are speaking, you are mansplaining to Courtney about her own channel. And I don't appreciate it.
He's playing the hits. That's at least three daddy-o-isms.
All right. Look, let us get right to the draft. Now, the Bengals, John, you might say after receiver, their best position was safety, right? We're talking about Jesse Bates, one of the very best in the league. Von Bell, very, very good safety. After all, those two together finished off the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And yet, they go out and they get, and I'm just going to review my notes here. They drafted 8 safeties, John. And here is... No?
I don't even think there are 8 picks in the draft.
Okay. Well, look, I am not going to complain because they're fantastic safeties. I was very excited. We're all very excited when we saw... We were surprised, but we were excited when we saw the first round pick being selected. Courtney, let's go to that moment because it took me by surprise. Okay, so it wasn't what I was expecting.
With the first pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals select Daxon Hill, defensive back, Michigan.
So, as you can see, he walks up to the podium, and he doesn't look like your traditional NFL player. Very slim, very slender.
Looks familiar, that. And,
wow. I mean, first of all, okay, I understand that, you know, gender is a fluid, okay? So I'm not going
it's
to comment on
It's not a fluid,
that.
It is fluid.
No, I know this.
Gender is not
and
a fluid. We don't drink
because
gender.
If it was a gas, then my gender would change.
I'm actually very confident you don't understand anything that's going on in this video.
Your gender is a gas because you're a gas bag.
So look, I understand that, okay? I'm not going to judge our first
gender
round pick.
Gender is fluid. It's not gender is a fluid.
That's what I said. Can you
is there someone on the panel can who can explain what we just saw?
Yeah. We saw Bridget, who was the special.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, please. Yeah, please. Yeah, please.
First of all, I want to share my special paperwork. Look at this. I got to take this home.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Goodell signed that. This is our first round pick, Daxon Hill. So they handed this to me backstage. I actually, so John, you might appreciate this. So before the pick was made, I don't know, like four or five picks before the Bengals picked, they scooped me out of the audience, took me backstage and into the jersey room. So there's all of this infrastructure backstage, as you can imagine. I have no pictures or videos because they confiscate your phone and you're not allowed to have any of that. So you can't tweet your podcast co-host who the draft pick is, like, three picks before they announce it. So I'm in the jersey room, and at that point I think there were five, as soon as I got there, there were five guys left of the 21 who were actually in Las Vegas, and they were getting ready for the Kansas City pick to be announced backstage, and they were asking me who I thought the Bengals were going to take. And I was like, they're going to take Karlaftis. My co-host did this amazing Hercules comparison. They're taking Karlaftis. And I shit you not, they, like, within 15 seconds, they're like, okay, Kansas City's in. Oh, sorry, am I not allowed to swear?
I mean, we'll take it out of your paycheck. Go ahead, please.
Perfect. So my paycheck is negative $5. I'll owe you money. Kansas City takes Karlaftis, and I'm like, no, I thought I looked really cool. So then I'm like, okay, well, we're clearly not picking anyone who's left. We don't need one of these not great quarterbacks. It wasn't a strong QB class,
oof.
I don't think.
Oof.
I don't know. Is that not fair?
No, it's fair. It's just, you know, it's harsh but accurate.
And so I'm wrapping up. Everyone tells me I'm a long-winded storyteller. So we take Daxon Hill, and I'm a Michigan girl. I didn't go to the University of Michigan, but I'm actually from Michigan. I spent 27 years there.
Whereabouts?
Kalamazoo, like Southwest Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
So when they announced a Michigan player, I was good with that. I know that gets Ohio people a little like, sometimes, but I love Ohio. I love Michigan. I think we can all live in harmony. So the commissioner walked out after announcing the Kansas City pick and asked me if I knew who we were picking, and then was like, wait, how do you know? I don't know. And then scurried off to find the pick. But what I don't know if you can see in the video, when I'm walking off, I sort of stop by the podium and I kind of like yell something into the audience because the Rams fans were like talking crap to me and like, nah, the ring. And I start like just instinctively like, I gotta talk crap back. And I'm like, we'll see you next year. And the commissioner just starts cracking up. And he's like, well, you're clearly pretty comfortable up here. And I'm like, I must defend our honor.
That is what doing this show prepares you for, Bridget.
Yeah, well, I have to defend my honor against you all day, Daddy-o.
Honestly, Bridget, it's like seeing the Loch Ness Monster. You saw the elusive LA Rams fan, which we didn't even know existed.
There's not many. There's not many.
All three of them were there.
That's about right.
Yeah. So I want to come back to your experiences. So let's talk about the Dax pick for a little bit.
Love that guy.
And yeah, I mean, this guy.
What a pick.
I've never heard of him before.
What a pick.
What a pick. And he basically, he is very versatile. They call him the Swiss Army knife of the defense. I guess that is because he's good at picking his teeth. I think because, right, it has a toothpick. That's what I use it for. And clipping his toenails. But
it's very dangerous, actually. Don't do that.
Well, but look, he's primarily, I guess, a safety. He can play nickel. He hasn't played a lot of boundary, John, right? You haven't seen him with his back to the ball, but he says he can do it, and they're probably going to try him out there, right? I mean, because, you know, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, why would they try him out there if he's never really played there before unless they absolutely need him? I feel like versatility is the first thing that comes up with Dax Hill just because he played free safety, strong safety, slot cornerback, overhang defender in his 3 years in Michigan because he could probably do it all. He didn't really play a ton of slot before he was kind of thrusted into that role, but he managed to do it really well. He developed great man cover skills. He's very fluid. He's very fast. He can really just stick with some of those intermediate and short routes. He's got great ball skills. He's got great tracking ability to really catch up at the last second with that burst on some of those deep balls. It's just, like you said, there's not a lot of experience of him on the boundary with his back turned to the ball and catching up to those vertical routes. And we don't know how that athleticism and those ball skills are going to translate when he has to do things that number one cornerbacks on the outside have to do. But he's really athletic when he's facing the ball and he's making breaks, and he can just let his instincts go to work, which is why I think in the NFL he's probably a split field safety, and he can come downhill and be a slot defender and can play a little bit in the box, but he's not very big, and he's a really good athlete, so you might as well just keep him in space as a safety going forward, and I think that's the role for him.
Yeah. Well, in the second round, we did get the more traditional outside corner, I guess, right? And Cam Taylor-Britt, who is a tremendous athlete, and a lot of confidence, and he could see the field a lot, I think, John, in his rookie year.
Yeah, so to me, like, once... in the first round when there was no cornerbacks that they were really comfortable taking, it kind of felt like this pick was going to be either they're going to take a cornerback or they're not going to take a cornerback at all, and they ended up trading up in the second round. They haven't traded up that early since like 1995 when they took Kajana Carter with the first overall pick. So Taylor-Britt was like the last cornerback that I think anyone felt comfortable could actually start this year and compete with Eli Apple, but he's got legitimate potential to be eventually a number one cornerback because he's long and athletic and had phenomenal ball production. Both Dax Hill and Taylor-Britt were always around the ball in their respective defenses, and they ended up getting their hands on a lot of passes, and that really bodes well for their overall potential going forward. He wasn't always consistent, I think, because he played some safety along with cornerback 1 year, and that kind of hurt his overall quality of play. But once he kind of settled in at boundary cornerback in Nebraska, he was a much more consistent player and kind of let his athleticism take over. Very versed in zone coverages and has the athleticism to be a dominant man cover corner. He just needs more experience in that regard. So I think for a guy with a lot of upside who can compete now but may not be exactly ready to start, Taylor-Britt's a really good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. We have 10 seconds for the other four picks. And John, tell me something about Zachary Carter that I don't know.
Well, I don't really know much about him either. It's just the fact that he played kind of all over the Florida defensive line, but he's not quite the athlete to hold up on the edge, which is why I think the Bengals drafted him to be a 3/5 technique play inside and just over the tackle, kind of utilize that length that he has. He's got a lot of power in his hands. He can convert speed to power when he gets a good burst off the line, but that isn't always evident. And I think his lack of elite athleticism is going to be best hidden when he's more inside. And I think that's what the Bengals drafted him for.
Okay.
All John had to say was anything about him, and that's more than you know, Daddy-O, so...
Well, we I didn't tell you what I know.
Burn.
I knew that Burn. Stuff, all of that. But, so, John, Cordell Volson, right? Our fourth round pick.
First round name, I should say, Cordell Volson. But, I mean, the guy played against future insurance agents at North Dakota State. Not a lot of quality pass rushers that he went up against, but...
But they have grit. Insurance agents have grit, yeah.
Yeah, he had grit. You know, he took the coaching really well. His pigment was a little bit kind of like mine. And I think that's what a lot of people will talk about him. But he carries you know, 315 pounds at 6 foot six very well. He finishes a lot of blocks. He drives through contact. You don't really see him take a lot of plays off once he engages. I think that really bodes well for him getting the opportunity early. He's well versed in a lot of zone concepts, which is what the Bengals typically like to run. They run a pro style offense in North Dakota State, and when he was in some of those true pass sets, he performed very well. So there's not a lot to dislike because he just dominated the competition that he faced. It's just a matter of how is he going to match up against actual NFL guys, and we'll find that out in training camp.
Yeah. And then, Bridget, they let you do the fan selection, and I'm a little surprised you took another safety in the fifth round. Courtney, can we play the clip, please?
Oh, we're two for two. Makes sense.
Bridget, we have the clip.
To announce the Bengals selection, please welcome Cincinnati Bengals season ticket member Bridget Jenkins.
And who is that, Bridget?
Scott Hansen. Are you talking about the guy in the red?
It says your name right there.
Oh, I thought you meant the guy in the red polo.
Pick to the Cincinnati Bengals with the 166th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft. Our Cincinnati Bengals select Tyson Anderson, defensive back, Toledo.
Welcome. You know what's cruel? Someone say 166 twice.
Bridget, you would think being on the show, all of the updates that John gives you, you would know that you don't draft eight safeties in the same draft. So what was
Where are you getting the number eight? We've had two.
We didn't have eight draft picks.
Okay. So it please.
Like the numbers don't even look the same. I don't know how this... Whatever.
No. Bridget, please, tell him what you're up to.
What do you mean?
Tyson Anderson. Why did you pick...
They hand me these cards, and I read them.
She does not pick the picks. It is a formality.
It's ceremonial. Added our...
He doesn't understand.
Our little slogans that I think on some, like, draft streaming thing, they made fun of me for, like, saying, welcome to the jungle in the Queen City. They're like, there you are, like adding in your team slogans, which of course I was happy to do. But I don't get to pick that.
Okay.
Daddy-o. I'm not the dictator of the draft like you are the dictator of the show.
Right. John, what was the thinking with Tyson?
Oh, phenomenal athlete. I think at this point, yes. I mean, they traded up twice in the same draft. That never happens when you're talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. They only ended up with six picks. This was the fifth, and I think this was the pick because at this point, there was just no one really that looked better on their board than this guy. Even though they already addressed this position, he's just someone who's going to come in immediately and just dominate special teams. He's so fast. He's so explosive at 6'2", 209 pounds, really physical. Again, played all over the secondary, probably finds a home as like a box safety, and they could use potentially a replacement for Von Bell down the road, but just a guy who I think is not going to play that much on defense, but he's going to be Darren Simmons is one of his favorite guys on special teams. And I think he probably shouldn't have lasted this long, which is why they traded up for him, because they weren't really comfortable taking anyone with the 174th pick, which is what they originally had. So this was just identifying who was the absolute best player on their board, regardless of their depth of the position, regardless of the need. Just go ahead and take him.
The okay. Bengals, well, savvy dare I digits, say, yeah. dare I say the Bengals are one of the best teams at drafting nowadays.
Well, they've been very aggressive. At that? Let's agree they've been very aggressive.
But they, you know, they know what they want. It's like
That's
a person
true.
Who goes
That was
to
a very
the store
HR pick.
And they know exactly
that was a very
what
HR pick, yeah. It was like, look, let's kind of warm people's hearts. Let's have a theme. Let this be what? Safety week? Was this safety week? Like International Safety Week?
No,
or something,
you just
Bridget?
Don't understand how football
Have to
works.
Get all they, the safeties.
You know what I am going to take credit for, though? When I was walking to, like, I was walking through the casino on the way to the draft on Thursday, and some guy was at a slot machine, and I can't remember what team's jersey he was wearing, and he's like, oh, Bengals better draft an O-lineman. And I look at him and I'm like, we took care of that in free agency, we're gonna draft a safety. And I was like, boom, I should have put like 500
yes,
on it.
Yes,
you made
probably
John
shook
made
for the rest of the day.
I know. Is there like,
so
who's that girl
admitted,
what podcast admitted, is she on?
You had a lot riding on them drafting safety, and supposedly you read the card you were given. Just want to get that clear. Okay. So, Bridget is buying us all lunch. Okay, look. Let us talk about, John, our final pick.
Where is Intez? Where is
Jeffrey Gunter, an edge player for Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, talk about having the guns. Nope, this was the last one, Hoji. It was the fourth to last pick in the entire draft. And I think just like Anderson before him, Gunter was probably a guy who should have went earlier than this. And I think you're getting phenomenal value. A guy who really produced at Coastal Carolina, really athletic, tested in the above the 70th percentile in speed, explosion, just below 70th in flexibility. 6'4", 258, and he's actually chiseled. You know, if you just look at him, like just his definition, it's actually insane. So I think as this edge class was phenomenal. Like there was so many quality edge defenders in this draft class. Like not taking one with a draft pick would have been kind of criminal, just because you're missing out on a class that, like, that's the strength of the draft. And I think Gunter at this juncture, he makes a lot of sense, just because he probably should have been drafted earlier. He's got potential to be a quality contributor, probably not looking at a starter, but someone who can round out the position group. They don't really have a quality answer behind their three edge rushers that they have on the roster right now who are going to take starting snaps. So I think Gunter has a good chance to compete for, you know, snaps down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I mean, when you look at the tape, John, when you look at the tape, I see the same thing that you see, which is, go ahead, what you see.
With who?
With Gunter.
He's
We're
trying
the
to
same
to,
thing.
Listen, John. He's trying to get you to say something smart so that he can say he saw the same thing, even though he has no idea.
You know,
who Jeffrey
this
Gunter
is called listening to the voices in your room and not trying to dominate the conversation, Hoji. You could learn something from it.
Okay.
John.
So why not you say it and then say, John, is that what you were thinking?
Because well, I think we're seeing the same thing, John. I think
that's
clear.
John, what are you both seeing?
Okay, so let's go through the stadium. When he's rushing
right
around
to get out of the house
corner, he does a good job finishing
the turn
around the tackle goal to get to the quarterback. Like he does a great job of turning around the edge.
Yeah, I know, and that's what you
need
those productions.
With the
edge.
Exactly.
If you're going to be on the edge, that's what I say. If you're going to be on the edge, you want to get around the edge. You don't want to be stuck on the edge. And that is what he does a really good job of.
Daddy O'Kiper.
Now, here's the thing. I look, a lot of people say, hey, they were shocked. A lot of people were shocked. Like that the guy that harassed Bridget, a lot of people were shocked that the Bengals... The direction they took, right? And I don't think Bengals fans were shocked we didn't take O-linemen. It was more, you know, we thought probably a defensive lineman. I think we would have taken Karlaftis if he was there, right, John? I think that would have been a pick. But we, you know, I think that was one concern. And we needed
an
a guard.
Greek.
Yeah, and we didn't take a O-lineman until late. So people were a little bit surprised. But I think... Overall, we were impressed as Bengals fans with the athletes that we got, right, John? I think all three defensive backs are like 4.36 or something, 40-yard times. It's not just about the times. They're very explosive athletes, right? And so, I mean, I want to get to our grades, but before we do, I just want to... I read John's blog about other people's grades, and I think people are really... opening their eyes to how smart the Bengals are.
Oh, yeah.
And so, Courtney, can we pull up the draft grades for this Pro Football Network? And as you can see here, and by the way, if you're like, who is this guy? I've never heard of him. This man, okay, was the first man to walk on the moon.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he was on the Mickey Mouse Club. And this guy, he's done
it all.
He's
a hunk.
And now, he's HR, I mean, please, we can't say that on the show. Because it makes me and Hoji feel insecure. But this man, yeah. And can we show the grade he gave us? An A-. Okay. So Ryan Gosling, of all people, gave us an A-. Because, and he gave Bridget some credit there. He said it was a solid pick, Tyson Anderson. But yeah, he says we got as much value as you could have come away with, considering. So I want to get...
Ryan Reynolds' grade matters more to me.
Yeah. Well, you
gonna
didn't...
have the pick of the famous Ryans.
Yeah. Well, I want to get your grades, and I want to start with Miss GM herself, Bridget. Your grade for the draft.
I'm going to go with an A. I mean, yeah. I think what John said is right. We took advantage of the talent that was out there. I'm not trying to be negative. I wasn't that excited about this draft class overall. There are great players, and I'm excited about who we took. We'll talk about what a player is already doing in the Houdet Nation and how the Houdet Nation is kind of responding to one already. I trust Duke, and I trust the team, and let's see what they do now in OTAs and in training camp, and I feel good about making another Super Bowl run this year.
Yeah. Okay, well, Hoji?
G. Well, you know, if you've been watching this show, and I sometimes watch, really, you have been learning from John that you don't want to draft for this team O-line talent, because this team doesn't do well with unbaked talent.
Right.
We don't bake it well.
I like that.
We need to get more veteran offensive linemen, guards, all that. People don't remember that. They don't watch the show. I've been watching John say that for years. So if we consider that, then I would give them an A, because the only other main need we had was right there on the O-line, and we've been, as Bridget said, we've been doing a great job in the free agency and all that. So I say A, because these guys are some defensive monsters we have there, and our defense was, I've always said, the strength of this team. It's the defense that carried us through the playoffs and to the Super Bowl, and that defense just keeps getting stronger and stronger. You keep feeding the beast yeah. would keep eating.
Okay,
A.
John.
Plus.
I think Hoji made a great point there. You look at the positions that the Bengals took, you had two safeties, a cornerback, and two defensive linemen. Those are positions that the Bengals, at least this staff specifically, have done a great job of developing talent at. You look at just the free agents that they've brought in, the guys that they've drafted in recent years. They've maximized a lot of the potential of the players at those positions. So, you know, it bodes well for this class developing into their full potential going forward. In terms of what Bridget said, like the draft not really aligning with the Bengals' immediate needs. It wasn't a great cornerback class. It definitely was not a great defensive tackle class. And that was the Bengals' two biggest needs. But I think they did fine in addressing it. Taylor Britt is going to be, I think, pretty good. Zach Carter, I'm not really sure he's ever going to be anything special. But like again, it just wasn't a special defensive tackle class overall. But they didn't really miss at any one of these picks, I feel like. They all have a good chance of being a contributor at some point in their careers, whether it be a role player or, I think, with Dax Hill, a potential Pro Bowl safety. So with all that in mind, I'll give them a B+.
Yeah. Okay.
Cautiously optimistic, as always.
Well, I agree with Ryan, and it's not just because he's captivated my emotions or something, obviously, but I do agree with Ryan Gosling in the sense that we did the best we could considering our draft position. My thing is this, you know, Jesse Bates, obviously, I mean, I don't want to criticize him in any way, but he didn't go to voluntary workouts, and it's because he can't risk getting hurt because he still doesn't have a deal, you know, and the players, they came out and said, hey, we all want Jesse Bates to get a deal, everybody. And here's the thing. I mean, if in any way drafting, I know, what is it? Six safeties. Sorry, John. If drafting six safeties is going to in any way make them feel more confident in moving on from Bates, that doesn't sit well with me. And Von Bell. I love Von Bell. I mean, look, that guy has a lot of heart. I feel like Von Bell, back when we were a terrible team, he kind of gave us an edge. He was one of those few guys who, despite the losing, he helped change the culture. So Von Bell is still very young, John. What is he, 28, 29? I mean, he's a young man. So I don't want to lose those guys. I love the athleticism that we got. I imagine the Bengals could have, you know, found other positions that they liked at, you know, maybe after the first round pick. Maybe you get one more safety. But so I'm going to give it a B+ as well, because I'm a little bit concerned about our veterans' future. The other thing is, John, you talked about defensive line, And yeah, we didn't really fix that. That's going to be a problem. Maybe we get Ogunjobi back. I don't know. Maybe we do. But we also, John, we needed a little more depth at wide receiver. And we needed maybe a high, let's say, ceiling tight end. And what we did do was all an undrafted free agency. So the receivers and tight ends that we got, an undrafted free agency, John. You know, we talked about Isaiah Weston before the draft. And I feel like we got someone similar in Javon Hailey, right? Also from Coastal Carolina. Kind of a similar prospect, would you say? Are there any of these receivers or tight ends that you think have a good chance of being on the roster?
So I would say that Hailey is not that similar to Weston because he's like 4 inches shorter and not nearly as fast or explosive. It's because of the lack of athleticism is why Hailey ended up going undrafted, but much more productive at a probably a better program in Coastal Carolina. I think he did most of his damage out of the slot. And you look at their three receiver positions, they don't have like a high quality backup at any one of them. So I think Hailey has a good chance of being the number two behind Tyler Boyd if he has a strong camp. Now, that's going to, how he does in special teams is going to determine if that's actually a realistic possibility. But I think Hailey is one of the two or three best undrafted guys that they've brought in now because he was really productive and showed proficiency in that area in college, and that has a role for them going forward.
What about Justin Rigg from Kentucky, the tight end, John?
He's I guess it just wasn't a good tight end class, honestly. And because they only had 8 picks, I think they had a run of tight ends go off in the 4th round. That might have been where they would have taken a guy, and then none of them became available. So it's like you don't want to just burn a pick on fire and just pick a bad player. You might as well just take a flyer on this guy out of Kentucky who, again, is just not a very good athlete, didn't really do much there. So we'll see how he does in camp.
Yeah, I mean, you can basically drive him out there. Don't have to pay for the ticket, right? It's a short drive. But look, John, let's talk about the pass rush because, yeah, we got Jeffrey Gunter, but we are really relying on Joseph Osai, is what I understood. Because if Joseph Osai doesn't work out, John, we are going to have the secondary, ball-hucking secondary, compensates. Because the quarterbacks are going to have time, and we're going to have to depend on them to make all the plays. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's why Gunter has a good chance of doing something this year as a rookie. And we shouldn't forget about, I mean, unless you're just now learning of him for the first time, Carson Wells.
No, let's say Carson Wells. Yeah.
He was another undrafted guy that they brought in out of Colorado. He probably should have been drafted, I don't know, like the 4th or 5th round.
Oh, yeah.
He was insanely productive, as you well know, at Colorado. Like the sack market share above the 96th percentile, tackle for loss market share above the 95th percentile.
I thought it was 94, but yeah, that's basically what I had.
No, I don't know where you're getting your data. That's a little bit wrong. But overall, great production profile. Not a great all-around athlete out of Colorado, but really dominated when he was there. Not the biggest guy, but again, I think they just need a little spark off the edge, and I think Wells can definitely provide that. Him and Gunter battling for snaps at like the 4th or 5th edge spot, that's going to be really fun.
Well, let's be honest, John, if Osai is healthy, I mean, he's going to be that, you know, he's going to get a lot of snaps. If he's completely healthy, he does have
that talent. He has to.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, you were just agreeing with me, but I'm sure, you know.
Love the subtitle, Osai, you see? I like that.
Also, John, he gets his data the same place that says we're the number one Bengals podcast, so.
That is. Burn number 3.
Okay.
How'd you keep in track? I can not have to pay that $5 if I get up to 5 burns, I think.
Yeah, $1 a burn at least.
Yes. Okay. Well, now that everybody's having fun, let us go on. Let us go to a very zen place with our hojoscope.
Well, let's. So you might have heard of the ancient art of physiognomy, the study of faces to determine character traits. I've been doing it the whole time we've been on this show. I've been studying your all's faces. There's also phrenology, studying the skull, which I have only gotten to do with some people on the show. If I've gotten to touch your head, believe me, I've been evaluating you. In fact, that used to be how you get on the show. I had to rub your head so we could see if you were compatible. So, for example, when we, if we can go and show my coworkers, let's see John here. Let's get John and Bridget back up here. I want to show you John. Now, if you look at the rugged good looks of our own John Sheeran, that is the face of a genius. The man is smart. You can tell by looking at his face. Look at those eyes, those piercing eyes. That is a smart man. An empathic one as well. And you can see that too. If you study the face, you can see. Our own Bridget, an empath. Smart, but the empathy comes first. Look at that, the empathy. We see it right there in the face. And Daddio has the classic profile of a sociopath. The beady eyes, the glasses. You know, it all works out. And you could tell that just by looking at the faces of people. Now, what about people who have a baby face? Well, people who have a baby face, psychologists have proven, because they have a childlike face, they have to work that much harder to show that they are competent, and they become overachievers. Let's bring up the first baby face, if we would, Courtney. Jennifer Aniston, everybody's favorite friend, right? If you think about it, it was the most successful show of the 90s after maybe Seinfeld, and she was the most successful one there. She's got the baby face. You see the chubby cheeks. You see the rounded features. Baby face, right? Let's go to the next one. None other than Al Capone. Look at that. Look at that delicious face. That you just want to give him a big hug. Be careful. He's got a gun in his pocket. But he was actually known to also do, you know, very kind things for the people in Chicago. He was a nice guy, overachiever. He took over really the whole criminal syndicate in Chicago. Amazing in terms of being a gangster and all that. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Okay, let's go to the next phase. Very own sexiest man alive, Paul Rudd. The man is in his 50s. He looks like he could be in his 20s. The man doesn't age. He's Ant-Man. He's Marvel. He's complete. He's funny. He's good-looking. He's got it all going on. Overachiever. Let's go to the next one. Ralph Macchio. If you know, this is one of the most successful karateists ever. One kick took down the whole of the Skeleton Dojo. And look at that. I mean, if my math is correct, he's 80 years old right now. Look at that. And he looks not a day over 50. Amazing. Amazing. Next. Zach Taylor, babyface. Who would have thought that this QB coach, was he a backup QB coach or was he a QB coach? This QB coach from the Rams would become the most successful, one of the most successful coaches in the NFL. Any team would kill right now to have him. He's got something to prove. He's got the baby face, right? Keep going. Next one. You got your Joe Burrow. Look at that man. Is he 15 or 25? I cannot tell. He has a baby face. He has proven himself to be the finest quarterback of his generation, and I would say of really the past few generations. Now, let's look at our draft picks and see if we can use physiognomy to see which ones will be the overachievers. Dax, handsome guy, not a baby face. So is he going to be good? Probably. Is he going to be better than we think? Maybe not. Let's go. Next one. Again, very handsome guy. Lots of athletes are. You got here Cam. And I'm sure he's going to be great, but not a baby face. Not a baby face. High cheekbones, good structure. Zachary Carter, not a baby face. But obviously good, you know, 6'4". Wow, it's a tall guy. Going to be successful.
You need a no from Zach Carter, okay.
He's not a baby face. Let's go to the next one. Okay.
Robin Williams, yeah.
He looks like Robin Williams. He actually looks like his son of like a Viking or something. He's Cordell Volson, but not a baby face. Okay. Now let's go to the next one. Uh-oh. What do you see?
Baby face.
Tyson Anderson. Baby face.
Good
so
job,
you
Bridget.
See, you guys just use physiognomy to determine that Tyson Anderson is going to be our overachiever. And actually, everything in his profile, his 33-inch wingspan, his huge 10 and 1/8-inch hands, the fact that he had the knee injury last year, but he still was like the first honors class of 2021. He is, as John said, super fast, ran a 4.36 40-yard dash, faster than Dax, faster than Cam. The man is fast, baby face. So what's my prediction, my hojoscope? watch out for the baby face. Watch out for Tyson Anderson. Nobody thought Zach Taylor was going to be as successful as he was, but you always underestimate the baby face.
Wow. Okay. Well, speaking of watching out and being careful, HR is here with the Daddy-O Cares.
So
let's go.
Speaking of our newest players, right after Cam Taylor-Britt was drafted, he tweeted out a GoFundMe. So I think it was his little brother who was playing high school football, and one of his teammates suffered a spinal cord injury and had lost all mobility. And Cam tweeted this GoFundMe campaign trying to get donations for the stem cell treatment. I think he was originally trying to raise like $10,000 maybe for this teammate from his hometown. And I feel like the Houdet Nation just went nuts. Within minutes, everyone was tweeting it, and I donated from the draft theater, and I think it's at 640 donations right now. That $10,000 goal has now been increased to 40,000. I think they're at about 21,000 and some in total donations. But I just love it because I feel like this just exemplifies when we bring someone in to the Bengals community and they have a cause, they have a need, like this fan base just rallies around it. I was reading through before we started recording the GoFundMe donations and just seeing what people were writing, like, welcome to the Houdet Nation, we got you, we'll always support you, or, you know, we've got your cause, this is important to you, this is important to us. So folks can check that out on Cam Taylor-Britt's Twitter account, and I know a lot of other folks in the fan base were tweeting, retweeting about it. But I think that's just what makes this this fan base so special and so strong. And we are there for each other 100%. But really cool that he is sticking with his hometown and sticking with this kid who really needs support. It's not covered by insurance, and so hopefully they'll be able to reach that $40,000 goal and be able to get this treatment and be able to get back some, if not all, of his mobility.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
That was touching.
Beautiful, beautiful.
You know, I'm speechless, and I'm just going
we
to
We like
let,
it that if way,
if only,
Daddy-O.
Yeah.
Well,
burn it's our favorite way
four?
Of being for you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Bridget, then I am going to allow you to do the final segment and basically, yes.
Passive aggressive.
Please.
You see, because she hasn't prepared and she doesn't know. He's putting
her
on the spot.
Right there. They're right there. Just to
I'm going
to
go ahead and give the work back
I believe
to you.
You.
I take you, this gift and return it.
I know you can read. I've seen you read lists of things that I've done into my face. Look.
Read letters of complaints as well.
Right. Okay, look. I obviously, this is not the time or place. Again, like John, you have made me embarrassed to tell people to go to patreon.com/DHSports and be a patron. I mean, really, what that is just so shallow when they could also go to vino.app/DHSports. Both of those things, not necessary to say. And that is because I assume that everybody here has already subscribed. But you know, if you go to vino.app/DHSports, you can get all the updates about where we're going to send the DNH sports team next.
You could literally just slide into our DMs. Literally.
Right. And look, I'm not going to judge you. I know that, like we said, that the fluid nature of gender, and it is a wet and messy thing that I don't. Yeah.
Is this something that you learned 10 minutes before the show, that gender can be fluid?
Because I think he learned it on the show.
Yeah. And it's clear he doesn't understand what it means. He thinks gender is some palpable fluid, like, you know, like air conditioning fluid or like gasoline or something. And he thinks that somehow do you even know what gender means? Gender is
somebody. Cue the music.
Yeah, and good night.
Hey, so that, yeah. So there you go. Listen, make sure to like and subscribe and comment and notify and all that kind of stuff. Read John Cincy Jungle's stuff, because John, he keeps you up to date on everything. Follow Bridget on Twitter. She's really getting popular. She is representing the Bengals.
That part's good. Not the popular part.
Right. And we also had Hoji on the show. That is all we have.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time. So long, sweetie. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.